good morning. I don't think we're awake yet. Let's do it one more time. Good morning. All right, so good to see everyone. It's so good to be with you. Real quick, though, before we get into the message, before we dive into God's word, I just want to bring a need and have us pray as a church. Just that, you know, I talked with Denise this morning. She gave me a call, and as we know, Charlie has been in the hospital for a couple weeks, had his back surgery with, I'm forgetting what it's called, but they had to drain fluid from his back and had a lot of pain. And then with all the chemo and stuff going on that he's having, it's just been a rough road. And she found out this morning on her way to come to church that they need to go back in, drain it again, and they just took the drain out. So I told her, we will be praying for her. So we are starting today, we are starting this service in the best way possible, prayer. So if you would just bow your heads with me, let's just give this time to God and let's just pray for the needs in our church. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray right now for Denise and Charlie. Specifically for Charlie, Lord, we pray for him and his back. We pray for everything going on with the infection and things that are just going on with chemo. And we know, and he has told me, that he is uncomfortable. And Lord, we just pray for his comfort. We pray for your peace over them as they go through this. We pray for the surgeons, the doctors, the nurses, the staff, everyone, Lord. We pray for the housekeepers that are keeping his room clean and helping him out, Lord. We just pray for them. We pray today as they go in and drain his back again, Lord, that you would help him. You would heal him. We pray that you would deliver him from this part. Lord, we just pray that you would put your hand upon him, upon the whole entire hospital, Lord, as he goes through this, Lord. We just pray that you would be with Denise and Charlie's sister as they go through this, and as they wait, we pray that you would give them comfort and peace. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. We do not see everything, but we know and trust because you do. We have faith in you because you know the overall plan. And even as I talked to Denise this morning, and she told me that God has the overall plan. And we pray for that, Lord. We pray for your guidance, your wisdom, and your peace over all of us during this time. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, you guys. So if you haven't talked to her lately, I would just encourage you, give Denise a call. She's part of our church. We all are part of the body of Christ. Just hearing from each other, just hearing words of encouragement. During this time, okay? But if you have your Bible, would you please open with me to Luke chapter 5? We're going to be in verses 27 through 32 this morning, and we are stepping into this month, and I want to kind of speak into this month a little bit. September is the month of Back to Church Sunday. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that. You might be seeing the posts online that I've been putting on, but it's National Back to Church Sunday on September 21st. I believe that's a Sunday. It's still, okay, woo! But it's Back to Church Sunday, so our church and many other churches in the area and across the nation are listed as a church when people look it up, as a church that's participating in this movement. And this month is great because the theme of the month, as we walk out of last month with giving and how we give and what does our giving look like, this month is each one, reach one. All right? So this month, that's what I want you guys to remember. If you don't remember anything that I say, remember each one, reach one. Each one of us is called to reach someone else. Each one of us is called to reach someone for God. So, starting in Luke 5, last week we were in Matthew 6, okay, and we heard Jesus teach about generosity and what it looks like when we are generous, not in public, not in out loud, not like in a boastful way, but in a way of service to him. He told us to give in a way that seeks God's approval, not worldly things, but eternity, eternal gain, right? We also talked about that those who boast of those things and like want people to look at them, then God says, you have received your reward. If you want that, that's what you will receive. You don't have the reward in heaven. Okay, but if we give out of our heart, if we give without worrying about what are people looking at, how are they seeing us, we're not putting our offering in, trying to make it clank on the box like they were back then, but we give out of our heart, we give out of obedience. That giving and that generosity flows from a heart that reflects God's nature, that reflects his abundance, his gracious and eternal nature. But generosity is not just about what we give. It's about also who we give it to. And that's where this passage in Luke takes us today. So let's kind of paint the picture, because I know I'm jumping into Luke 5. Okay, so by now, Jesus has already begun his ministry. Okay, he's already walked through and preached in the synagogues in Nazareth. He's declared that he fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah. He's healed the sick. He's forgiven sins. He's driven out demons. He's forgiven a paralyzed man. He's already called the fishermen, okay, Peter, James, and John, to leave their nets and follow him. He is already walking in his ministry. And crowds are now growing. Religious leaders are starting to talk behind his back. They're starting to do all this. And in the middle of all this momentum, you think that Jesus is moving. And when we hear about building momentum, we always talk about keep that momentum up. We talk to our kids in school, hey, build that momentum, get those grades, keep those grades up, build that momentum. In sports, we talk about building that momentum. Win this game, build the momentum, keep that momentum moving forward. We just have that mentality. But Jesus, being Jesus, does things a little bit differently, doesn't he? In the middle of that momentum, where a world is watching, Jesus does something different. He calls an outsider, a tax collector by the name of Levi. And this moment shows us that no one is beyond Jesus' reach. No one is beyond the grasp of God. No one is too far gone. If Jesus sees, calls, and welcomes the outsider, his church must do the same. Amen? So let's pray. Father, as we open your word today, Lord, we pray that we would see people the way that you do. I pray that you would break our hearts for those who feel left out, overlooked, and even far from you, and remind us of the grace you showed when you reached out to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in Luke 5, starting in verse 27 through 32, we're just going to read that really quick if I can get to it. It says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Jesus went out. First thing, let's talk about that. He went out. He didn't wait. He didn't want people. He didn't wait for people to come to him. Jesus did things differently. The religious leaders back then, and even sometimes now, we have this mentality of they'll come to us, do the right things, have the right situations. They'll come to us. But Jesus said, no, we go out to them. We go out to the sick. We go out to those who need healing. We go out to those who can't walk. Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth and simply said, follow me. So you also got to understand, tax collectors in this day were not popular. They're not popular now, right? But they were definitely not popular then. So if you can imagine this, as unpopular as they are now, they were more unpopular then. They were hated. They worked for Rome, okay, the enemy. And a lot of times they were Jews, okay? And they were told by Rome, or there was a whole thing that they had, is as long as Rome got what Rome was required, anything above that was theirs. It's almost like the tax collectors worked on commission, and there was no cap, okay? So Rome got theirs, and beyond that, the tax collectors would tax whatever they want to build the lifestyle that they wanted. And they were not liked. They were known to be cruel. They were known to be just no care in the world. Oh, that's your house? You're losing it? Big deal. As long as they had their situation, as long as they had their life. So imagine the shock. As Jesus is walking by, he's been preaching, he's been teaching, he's been sharing the word of God, he's been talking to these people, he's been healing the sick, he has been forgiving sins. We have this momentum built up and he stops. He looks over and he says, follow me. You know, it's like those, you remember those cartoons? You guys are old enough, the cartoons, Saturday. Right? Saturday mornings, we live for cartoons. And then there's always the cartoon that somebody's running and they just stop and then everyone's just like, right? So imagine that momentum. Jesus is walking and he just stops and everyone is like, what are we stopping for? Why are you stopping in the middle of the road, Jesus? And Jesus just looks over and says, follow me. Okay? But imagine the shock when people see this. Jesus walks past synagogue leaders. He walks past respected citizens. He walks past the people that normally you would think, oh, we shake their hand. We butter them up. We talk to them, right? He walks past all of them and goes to a person who is despised in the town, stops, and Jesus sees him. Everyone else would turn their head the other way. Everyone else would walk by him faster if they could. Everyone else would not cast a second glance if Levi was not sitting at his booth that day. If he didn't wake up. If he didn't make it to work. They're like, cool. I don't have to get bugged today. That's the mentality that they would have. But Jesus stops. Picks him out and says, follow me. And he doesn't just see him physically with his eyes. He sees him with compassion in his heart. He sees what Levi could become. He sees who Levi is with Christ in his heart. And I challenge us as a church that that is the gospel. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you for everything. He sees the parts of your life that disqualify you. He sees the parts of your life that you feel like an outsider and you want to be, you're overlooked. He sees those who feel broken. And instead of turning away, he turns towards you and says, follow me. So if Jesus sees the outsider, do we? Because all of us who know Christ, who call ourselves Christians, all of us were once an outsider. So we have no The only thing we have different than those who are still in that life is Christ. I'm still a sinner. I'm still broken. I'm still a pain in the butt. I heard that. My wife will acknowledge that I am definitely a pain, and I can be. So will my mother-in-law, apparently. But I am no different other than the fact that Christ saved me. I am different in the mentality I have because of who Christ is, not because of who I am. I have changed my life because of what Christ did for me on the cross, not because of what I did on my own effort. And Levi might have felt like an outcast, an outsider. Maybe just, I'm just trying to survive here. And this is the route that I took because I'm good with numbers. I'm smart. I'm able to do this. And it works for me. And I'm able to get money. I'm able to provide for my family. I'm sorry. But Jesus calls the outsider. Jesus doesn't just see Levi. He speaks, follow me. Okay? So that's not just casual. Follow me is the language that meant come, be my student, live your life with me, live in my way, and come give me your life. It's kind of in a way of like being an apprentice of Christ, but not in the way we see it today. You know, we're not going and picking out a school, spending a couple years of an apprenticeship to become like a journeyman electrician or whatever other field. Jesus went out to him and said, you, I pick you. Where a lot of times in that day, students would come to the church. Students would approach the rabbi and say, let me learn from you. Teach me your ways. But Jesus flipped the script and did the opposite. He said, I'm going to go out. I'm going to find the people. The only thing that they didn't realize, and sometimes we don't realize, is that he's calling every single person that he walks by. He doesn't pass by anybody. He's just walking around, follow me. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. He wants us all to follow him. So it's not just casual. This is language that meant come be my student. Live in my way. Leave your life behind. And live in this new way. So Levi, someone who thought that no one would have chosen, is chosen by Jesus. And then something that we might just skip over in our head when we're reading this because the emphasis is on Jesus calling him. Let's think about what Levi did in that moment. He got up, he left his tax booth, and he followed Jesus. How many of us can say that we do that in our life? How many of us can say that we actually are doing that in our life? Because I say I'm following Christ, right? But if Christ came to me and said, follow me. And I'm like, I am following you. No. Follow me. And then he starts walking. Am I going to have the ability to leave my life behind? Are any of us going to have that ability to leave our life behind and follow him? Because when we say we follow Christ, we are not saying, oh, Lord, I do follow you in my time bracket. I follow you on the days that I feel are appropriate. I follow you in my life when I feel it is worth my time. But work, school, friends, activities, entertainment, those are priorities. I follow you later. I follow you in my nighttime prayer at the end of my day. Jesus calls us to follow him. And Levi is this example that he left everything without hesitation and followed Christ. This is repentance. When you truly, what happens when Jesus calls your name, you don't add him to your schedule. You reorder your life around him. That makes sense? Our life is his. How I work, the job I choose, is because of my life with Christ. How I speak, how I treat my family, is because of my life with Christ. My life revolves around him, not myself. So how quickly do we respond to Jesus? Do we obey at once like Levi? Or do we say, hold on, give me a few minutes? Because remember, there was also somebody else who Jesus called. And he says, I need to go take care of my affairs first. And Jesus knew he wasn't ready. So are we willing to just follow? And then once we follow, are we willing to take the bold step of celebrating with Jesus? Or are we bringing Jesus in and then saying, I got my cute little box. Let me put Jesus up on my shelf. I got my Jesus statue. I'm going to go back to living my life. Are we celebrating with him? Jesus celebrates with the outsiders. Levi didn't just go, okay, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to like hide in the shadows. No, he celebrates. He's like, I'm following Jesus now. Let's let everyone else know. And he throws a banquet. He's like, let's gather. Let's get together. I have a bunch of sinners that I know. I have a bunch of people, bunch of other tax collector friends. Nobody likes us. Let's all have a party. Let's get together. And Jesus celebrates with them. Jesus does not pull back from a situation because it might be looked at as uncomfortable. Jesus steps into it. Jesus steps into the life. Jesus steps into a life when most people would go, I love them. I don't want to hang out with them. I want them to hear Jesus, but I don't want to be in that situation. I don't want to be in that environment. You are in the world, but you are not part of the world. Do you know what that means? You can go, let me say this like in a way, you can go where you need to go to share the gospel of Christ. And through Christ, you don't have to be part of the world in the situations. You can go to those locations. You can go to those bars. You can go to those places. You can go down those streets to share the gospel. Quit worrying about what your friend back home is going to say. You went where? You hung out with who? They smell. Why would you go there? Because they need to hear Jesus. Because I was once them. And Jesus celebrates with them. He didn't say, oh, I said follow me, but I don't want to go into that. No. Jesus said follow me. And when Levi responded, picked up, and left his life, Levi also said, I have a lot of friends who can hear from you. Let's bring them together. Let's live, let's talk with them, let's be with them. And Jesus is like, let's do it. Let's go. Let's have fun. Let's have these conversations. And so, if Jesus sat at Levi's table, the church should also sit at an outsider's table. The church should be willing, should be the first to eat with outsiders. The church should be the first to go into those places because they need to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So how often do you think churches create a culture that pushes people away from the doors rather than invites them in? Probably more often than you think. Oh, we dress a certain way here. I'm sorry, you're not welcome. We don't listen to that kind of music. A little too loud for us. A little too much movement. The last I heard, Spirit didn't stay still. Amen? The Spirit that moves. What kind of environment are we creating for people when churches are opening their doors and they're like, come look at our lush life, our huge buildings, all this stuff, and then you walk in and you're like, man, I need to hear about this person, Jesus Christ. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're in shorts and sandals. We don't do that here. Go down the street. And then, let's admit it, right? They might go like, oh, there's a great church over there. They love that kind of, you would love it there. Guess what happens when they leave our door to go to that church? They say, I can't say that in church, hold on. You know what I mean. Okay, they say it. And they walk out those doors and they say, whatever, screw it. Sorry, said it. That's what they say. Because they don't feel invited in. But get this, everyone. We were all outsiders. Do you know who put these clothes on my back? Gave me the vehicle that I have to drive? Gave me the family that I have? Him. It wasn't me. I'm a dork. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. True story. 100% true story. And I hope my mom's watching. Hope my dad watches later because it's true and I'm still mad at them for this. They told my wife, you have time to leave. No joke. In my life, when I said, hey, this is Megan. I would love you to meet my girlfriend. I think she's the one. They literally, not even with me, they went behind my back. Hey, there's still a chance. You can walk away. Even to the point, like right before we got married, my dad's like, you know, you still got a chance. But now it's fun because now the ongoing joke in our family is anytime Megan is like, you know what your son did? They're like, nope, you had your chance. And I'm just like, sorry, stuck with me. But we are surrounded by people made in the image of God. Are we pushing them away or are we bringing them in? We're a small church, but we're a loving church. We may not have a lot of people, but we have a lot of heart. I know a guy by name, well, I don't know. I've read about and seen about a guy named Rudy. Just watched his movie the other day. He was a little dude. He had a big heart. Hear those stories all the time about these situations that happen in unknown places, unknown churches, movements. Guess what? There was a revival that happened. Made a movie about it. And it all started in a small place. This month, National Back to Church Sunday. In a world that doesn't even promote God, there's this National Back to Church Sunday. Are we going to be the type of church that invites people in? If we have people come in the next few weeks that happen to pass by or happen to see a post online or happen to hear from you saying, hey, you should come to our church, check it out. When we walk in, is it going to be smiles and acceptance? I know it will. But Jesus celebrates with them. So when we have new people, are we celebrating with them? Are we saying, come, let's hang out, let's fellowship, let's be together, and bring all your friends with you? So people think that Christians are some of the most judgmental people in the world. And unfortunately, a lot of times we have been. Not everyone, but one bad apple, right? One bad apple. So let's start praying for Christ to bring people to an environment like Antioch Wesleyan Church that is open and willing with open arms. Come as you are and receive Christ. And Jesus sat with them, but these people, these religious leaders, are complaining because they don't see it. They say, why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? Ew! And in their eyes, Jesus was compromising holiness because they saw it as a facade of what they look like, the worldly possessions they had, the clothes that they wear. But Jesus looked at them and answers, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is the gospel. That he did not come to hang out and congratulate. There we go. Can't get that word out. Didn't come to congratulate those who were righteous. Didn't come to the Pharisees and be like, good job. No, he walked right by them. Because to him, he's like, you should be doing this. You should be following me and doing this. You should know this already. You know the law. So he had to show them through example. He came to seek. So this should wake us up. If Jesus' mission is to seek and save the lost, then ours cannot be anything less. If our calendars and priorities are filled with those who are already saved, then we're missing the heart of Christ in our life. And we need to be asking ourselves, what can we be doing as individuals, as a body of believers, as a church, to invite people in? How can we fill the people's needs in their lives around us so they can come experience Jesus, who fulfills all needs for those who seek him? So Jesus' call is our commission. His life is our commission. Every part of this story points directly to Jesus' mission. Jesus saw Levi, so we must see people that others ignore. Jesus called Levi, which means we must invite people that others would pass by. Jesus ate with Levi's friends, which means we should share our tables with outsiders. And Jesus defends his mission. So we must not let fear or pride hold us back from the mission and commission that Jesus Christ gave us all. It's not optional. And hear this, please. If you have been called by Jesus, you have also been sent by Jesus. Okay? If you have been called by Jesus, you have been sent by Jesus. There's no, I'll take this half and leave this half. No. Package deal, it's what you get. If you have been called by Jesus and accept him into your life and accept him into your heart, you have also been tasked to go out into the community around you. You have also been tasked with reaching those for Christ because you have been sent by Jesus to fulfill the mission that he started. So maybe today you feel like Levi. Maybe today you feel like an outsider. Maybe today you feel like an outcast. Maybe today you feel separated, unworthy. I don't know. The world has a crazy way of filling our minds with things and making us feel like we are less than. But hear this. Jesus sees you. Jesus calls you. And Jesus invites you to follow him. So we can pray together right now. I am not worried if you say that you've been a Christian for 40 years, 50 years, 1 year, 1 month. It's fine. But we should all accept Christ and acknowledge him in our life. So we're going to pray right now. And whether you're dedicating your life for the first time or you're recommitting your life for the 100th time, we are all, if you are willing, it's up to you in your heart. If you are willing, we are all going to pray right now. And as a body of believers in the room, and those who are going to accept Christ and become part of the body of believers in this room, let's all start on the same page when we open our eyes from this prayer. Let's all start on the same page that says we are following Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I believe that you see me. I believe that you died and rose again. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Make me new. And today I choose to follow you. In name we pray. Amen. So, we start fresh right now. Okay? So this is why our vision matters. This is why I'm saying each one, reach one. Because this month, September, is the month of reaching consistently. We've talked about giving. Now we're talking about reaching. So we're going to live out each one, reach one this month. Amen? And let's live it out every day. Let's live it out the rest of our life. Because reaching people isn't just a nice idea that we have. It's the heart of Jesus Christ that we should follow. And then think back to Levi every time you're thinking of this. Jesus didn't wait for him to walk into the synagogue. He walked out, saw him at his booth, and called him. And that's reaching consistently. That's the message of Christ. It's not, oh, come to church on Sunday. You'll hear about it there. No. Reach consistently. Each one of us is going to reach someone else for Christ as often as God opens the door for us to do so. So imagine the impact if every one of us took that to heart. Each one, reach one. If every person here said, I'm not just going to come to church, but I will bring someone with me. I'm not just going to reach consistently because Jesus reached me first and wait for Jesus to do it. I'm going to go out like Jesus did and reach someone for Christ. So this is your action step this week before we get into the final song and take communion together, is take one intentional step this week. Invite someone for a meal. Send someone a text message. Have a conversation with someone. Open your life to them. And here's the kicker. Don't do it to somebody you already know. I'm just going to call my friend and say, hello. Jesus loves you. And then call it a day. No. Go to that person at work. Say something to that checker in the grocery store. Say something to that teller at the bank. Say something to the drive-thru worker. What's the worst that's going to happen? You go to a different Taco Bell? Really? Go to somebody new. See somebody new and just
Jesus loves you. And they might, who knows what they might just thrash out at you and you're like, oh, Jesus really loves you. But just do it. Take that one step. Just let's all be uncomfortable just a little bit this week. Because Jesus was uncomfortable the whole time he was living. He was definitely uncomfortable on that cross, but he did it anyways, not just for you and me, but for everyone out there who still needs to hear his name. Amen.